The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on January 18, 1997 in Bangalore, India. The class begins with a reading from the Bhagavad Gita, 8th chapter, 7th verse.
Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mamanusmara yudhyacha mayarpita manobuddhir mame vaishasya samsaya tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mamanusmara yudhyacha mayarpita manobuddhir mame vaishasya samsayah.
With divine grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Therefore, Arjuna, is there's translation going on for people that don't know English? Who's doing? Tell people that speak Kannada to go to you that don't speak English. Anyone that speaks English, move away from him to make room. How do you say no English in Kannada? Huh? English? Bharata? Go there. In Tamil, I know how to say something, a few words. So here we go. Therefore, Arjuna, you should always think of me in the form of Krishna and at the same time carry out your prescribed duty of fighting. With your activities dedicated to me and your mind and intelligence fixed on me, you will attain me without doubt. Repetition. Therefore, Arjuna, you should always think of me in the form of Krishna, and at the same time carry out your prescribed duty of fighting. With your activities dedicated to me and your mind and intelligence fixed on me, you will attain me without doubt. Report by Srila Prabhupada. This instruction to Arjuna is very important for all men engaged in material activities. Anybody here is engaged in any material activities? The Lord does not say that one should give up his prescribed duties or engagements. One can continue them and at the same time think of Krishna by chanting, Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
Krishna
Krishna!
Hare Hare!
Hare Hare!
Hare Rama!
Hare Rama!
Hare Rama!
Hare Rama!
This will free one from material contamination and engage the mind and intelligence in Krishna. By chanting Krishna's names, one will be transferred to the supreme planet, Krishna Loka, without a doubt. Hari Om Tat Sat. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta Swami translation purport to the Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, 8th chapter, 7th verse, in the matter of attaining the Supreme. You see, this verse begins with the word tasmat, therefore. Usually when we talk, we say, because there is a shortage of water in Tamil Nadu, therefore they are asking Karnataka to give water. Because Karnataka doesn't have enough water to spare, therefore they don't want to. So there's always come something, you know. Just to be ecumenical here. So, the previous two verses are very important to understand this verse, because the tasmat, therefore, is dependent on what verses came before. Krishna explains, antakale chamam eva smaran muktva kalevaram ya prayati samadbhavam yati nasyatra sansayaha. Whoever at the end of his life quits his body remembering me alone at once attains my nature. Of this there is no doubt. And the next verse, which is yang yang vapi smanang bhavam tyajadante kalevaram tang tang evaiti kunteya sadatad bhava bhavitaha. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, O son of Kunti, that state he will attain without fail. Tasmat, then we come, Sareshu Kali. Therefore, when are we going to die? Who can say when he's going to die? You see, Parikshit Maharaj, he was cursed to die in 7 days. So he knew that he was going to die. The king Kadvanga Maharaj, who fought for the Devas, he was a great king of earth. But he was so great a warrior that he was enlisted in a universal fight between Devas and Asuras. And as a pious king, he was fighting on behalf of the Devas. After the Devas were victorious, they were very pleased with Kadvanga Maharaj's power and service. They offered him anything he wanted. Devas can offer so many things, right? So he offered whatever you want. Of course, the Devas can only offer material things. So first thing Kadvanga Maharaj asked was, how long do I have to live? I want to know before, then I will make my request. Right? If you say, well, you have so many millions of years to live, then you can start thinking, well, then all the things I want. But they said, well, actually you only have one muhurta, which is about 45 minutes. So suddenly, Kadvanga Maharaj went into a different mode. Thank you very much, but there's nothing I need from you. Just send me right back to my Vishnu temple. There I want to be with the devotees. I want to hear the glories of the Lord. I want to fix my consciousness on Krishna at this moment. If I have only one moment to live, then there's no more, I don't need to waste time with all of you. Because now I have to get back to thinking about Krishna. So he was transferred immediately to his temple, he paid his obeisances, he was chanting, and Because in that one moment he could fix his mind on Krishna, he went back to Krishna. So we don't know when our last breath will be. Therefore, Krishna is telling, therefore, sarveshu kaleshu, at all times, at all places, every moment we should be remembering Krishna. While we're doing our duties, you know, we can't stop. We may live also 100 years. You can't just stop acting. We have to work. We have to do our duties. We may also only live one morta. We don't know. We don't have that special facility to ask how long do we have. So therefore, our insurance policy is to always think of Krishna. This is called eternal insurance. You just keep paying the premiums. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now Arjuna, his duty was to fight. He was a kshatriya. That's why Krishna said to him, Mam anusmara yudhya cha. That doesn't mean that everybody doesn't have the duty to fight. But he was a kshatriya, that's why it was said. But housewife duty maybe will be different. The brahmanas and the vaishyas and sudras and the various types of people in the world, they will each have the students, they'll have different types of duties. Whatever it might be. If you can think of Krishna while fighting in a battlefield, which is a very chaotic, passionate, violent situation. You can think of a worse environment to be in, you know. People like to go to holy places where it's very peaceful and meditate. And here Krishna is telling him, fight! Just remember me. Of course, it wasn't so hard for Arjuna to remember Krishna since Krishna was driving his chariot as the Parthasarathi and he could see Krishna every moment. That was a special benediction. But even sometimes, when one is in the presence of the spiritual master, the mind may go off somewhere else. Guru may be speaking, and someone may be thinking, this class is going too long, I'm going to miss my prasadam time. Or someone may be thinking, what's happening back at the house? Did I turn off the water? Did I lock the door? You know, some of the mind can go anywhere, right? It's not. So sometimes we may be present with the Guru, but our mind may be somewhere else. So we have to do our activities in such a way that Krishna is served by them. And that way naturally the thought process is connected to Krishna. Because Krishna told Arjuna, you fight without thinking of winning or losing, but you fight for me. You do your duty for me without thinking what's your gain or what's your loss. I'm doing this because it's for Krishna. You see, Krishna conscious devotee, they've been told by the spiritual master to preach Krishna consciousness. They are preaching to everyone. What will happen or won't happen, irregardless, they just go on telling everyone about Krishna. Of course, it's very wonderful to see people taking up Krishna consciousness and seeing them benefit and become happy. You see, but it's not that if people don't take up, we'll stop telling people about Krishna. Even in the time of Navadvipa's pre-Chaitanya Mahaprabhu situation, they were practicing their Krishna consciousness. But Lord Chaitanya had made it very favorable by letting people very quickly get a taste for spiritual life, a taste for bhakti, for Krishna, seva, service of Lord Krishna. And in this way, it's easy to practice. If you get a taste, then it's very easy. It's not difficult to ask somebody to eat some nice food that they have a taste for. So if we have a taste for chanting, a taste for serving, if we develop the param drishtva nivartante, the higher taste, then it's very easy. We were at the Calcutta Second World Congress for the Synthesis of Science and Religion, where Nobel Physics Laureate, Science Laureate, and Nobel daughter of one Nobel Laureate, and famous and important scientists, the head of Graduate Theological Union in Berkeley, California, one of the best theological schools, university connected with the University of California, Berkeley, also came and headed up the concluding session. One of the Ayatollahs from Iran, number three in line to be the president, king, and spoke on Islam and reality from a scientific point of view, and his Islamic point of view. And like that, there was a Jewish theologian, and various representatives were there. So, in the evenings, various life members in Calcutta, the industrialists, and they were offered to host these distinguished guests for little dinners in the evening. So I went to one such a dinner, and it was held in the backyard, like a picnic. It was a very big mansion kind of, you know, very big house, quite a big bungalow. And there were so many aristocratic people of Calcutta. So I was just going and seeing how the guests were doing and how they liked the program. It was by the Bhaktivedanta Institute, and the ISKCON was supporting this whole effort. And I was one of the guest speakers also, speaking on behalf of Vedic viewpoint. So, at one point there was one Dr. Wolf, and from America. And I sat down, he looked at me, and he said, "Actually, you're very interesting because you look like a Westerner, but your vibration and your accent and everything about you is totally Indian." I think your inside is Indian. So, but then we were just discussing, and he mentioned that everybody here is happy. Everybody's smiling, everybody's happy, you know, everyone's socializing, talking. Ayatollah was sitting talking with one of the hostesses. Everyone was talking to somebody, and it was, you know, that type of like a social event where everybody's having a good time, talking and taking. He said, "The unusual thing you see is here there's no meat and there's no alcohol. It's a pure vegetarian dinner, and you're only giving, you know, soft, there's no alcohol. In America, if we had such function, there'll definitely be meat and there'll be alcohol. But here everybody's happy, and there I don't think people will be so happy. So I'm going to go back and I'm going to tell all my scientist friends that we don't need it. We don't need meat and we don't need alcohol to have a good time." This I have learned by coming to your country, India. So that is a little higher taste. He got a little taste somehow in that, I won't say it was an overwhelming spiritual experience, but it was a little sattvic kind of a environment there. And he got a little sattvic and rajasic, but he got a taste for that. And they all came to Mayapur, but I was in the Madras Vatyatra, so I don't know. I heard they liked Mayapur very much, but I don't have any direct quotes to say what their comments were. But this is the point that Prabhupada wanted to expose people to a more sattvic, a more spiritual environment, so that when they get a higher taste, then they can actually, they say, oh, this is actually better. We don't need all these things. We don't need these tamasic things. You see, one of our life members in Madras, he came and spoke to me, said how his wife was very religious and she always was coming to the temple and tending the aarti, and she was chanting 16 rounds of japa. And but he said he was not very interested. He would sometime come in and pay his pranam, and he'd sit out in a car and smoke cigarettes. Or he would have some drinks in his house and then come and just sit, pick up his wife from temple and go. Occasionally he'd come in and just, hello. Wasn't so much interested. But then we started this bhakti brinda groups in Madras also. And so sometime they had a program in his house on rotation. So then he heard and sat into the group session, the discussion, and he became very interested in that discussion and he got into it. After a couple of times, he would also occasionally go to the Bhakti Vrinda as a guest. And one time he asked the preacher who was there that, what is it that, you know, is it all right if I take coffee and tea? He said, oh, intoxication is not good. You should, better if you can avoid coffee and tea. He said, well, if I have to avoid coffee and tea, what about the brandy and whiskey I take at night? I dare not ask about that. And so he gave it up and he started to chant. And then he came and confessed all this thing. I used to go always there, and I'm still going to Japan, other for business. I thought this was the, you know, all 99% of business executive, they all do like this. You see, so now I'm finding it so much more happy, and now I've increased to 8 rounds or 16, I forget what it was. And I'm getting a lot of taste for this. But before, I couldn't imagine that there was anything, you know, for me in this. So a little association with a devotee has so much effect. This is actually, you can say, like a scientific, like a magnet, like what they call touchstone, sparsamoni. You put in touch and the person's change. That's why, you see, how many people will I come in contact? I will only come in contact with a few people. In fact, some people complain because I'm always busy having interview that they don't get to come in contact with me as much as they would like. But, of course, I do come and give classes. But we want every devotee. You're all touchstones. Every one of you are sparsamonis. And when you come in contact with people, if you present things in an appropriate way, you have to not be too... give people more medicine than they can take. In fact, even normally we might hesitate to tell someone don't take coffee and tea because it's a minor vice. But that preacher anyway, he said, and it has, somehow Krishna controlling the situation. It didn't scare away the person, but then he adapted. But we generally, we have to very carefully, we just try to get people to take up a little bit of Krishna consciousness. And by doing so, gradually they start to realize that the real peace of mind and happiness is within us. We are looking externally for happiness, which is already within us. So, that association can bring about a better and higher thought. And if we can bring people up to thinking about Krishna, right, as this verse is saying here, tasmat sarveshu kaleshu. Manganusmana, thinking of Krishna all the time, every time. Then you see, one is secure. Of course, why? As Krishna said that whatever we think about at the time of death, that's where we go. I explained this story now. Magh Mas has begun. That is called Madhava Mas, the month of Madhava since the Makara Sankranti. And I told last year, I think I told you that some of the glories of the month, of this month, about the one king. Don't remember? There was one tyrannical, sinful king, who was not fulfilling the role of a kshatriya. Kshatriya means to protect. So previously the monarch would see his praja, his citizen, his subjects, like his children. And his duty was to protect the citizens, protect them from rogues, dacoits, other invaders, and from the government. Yes. Because ministers who have a temporary role in the government, their tendency is to rob, steal, take as much as they can while they're in the post, if they're not watched. So the monarch's duty, because he was a permanent position, kingdom was like his kingdom, so his interest was to see that none of the ministers simply stole from the government. And he had the power to remove any minister or to punish them. You see, this is what's missing in democracy sometimes, is that there are no stop corruption. If there's any corruption, they have the power and the independence. They are replacement for the what the Queen of England was previously. Well, that was the Vedic system, that they should have the power to stop corruption. If there's any corruption, they have the power and the independence to act. Anyway, that's a whole other long discussion. But in this case, this is just a history. This person, he was, the king himself was corrupt. So it was a very unfortunate circumstance. He was, when things would come up to him to decide, and he was supposed to be neutral party, he would take bribes and decide in his own way. So then there was a, you see, the king is supposed to be pious. He's supposed to be Naradeva. But if the king is rotten, then everything is a really hopeless case. So that situation was there, and the people, the citizens became very frustrated. The brahmanas were not powerful enough to remove the king like they did in the case of Venu. So even there was a group of rebels, revolutionaries, guerrilla warriors who were trying to overthrow the king. So this king, he would have, yeah, apart from his queen, he had girlfriends, you name the sin you can imagine he was doing, you know. Don't do too much imagining about these things. Remember, Sareshu Kaleshu Man, remember Krishna. But anyway, he was doing so many sinful things. So then, one day in the month of Magh, he had a rendezvous in a garden house with one society girl, say kind of a prostitute. And she was there waiting for him, and he went there, you know, obviously this is not, he has to do all these things hidden. So he kind of snuck away from his bodyguards and he went over there. But somehow it was set up, it was leaked out. Maybe the society girl was a double agent for the revolutionaries. What you call, like, doubles agent, spy or something. They found out and they surrounded the house. But inside, the king, he didn't know anything. He's having a good time with this lady. And then after they're sitting there and on some sitting place in the courtyard, and they're talking. And in that courtyard there was one champa tree. Now, one flower from the champa tree happened to just fall while the king is talking, and he's, you know, in a light mood. So as the flower is falling, he just says, Urai Puspam Naranaya Namo. Oh, flower who is falling, I offer you to Narayana. It's kind of like a joke, you know. It's like when a flower is falling, before it hits the ground, you can offer it to Krishna. Once it hits the ground, then it's not offerable. Usually. There's a story in Bengali about just like you have, what's that, Ram? You have some joke? Kanali Ram, they have their Gopal Bhar. Gopal Bhar, he was carrying one basket of fused rice. And suddenly a gust of wind came and blew the rice up in the air. While it was just like flying in the air. I mean, once it hits the ground, who's going to pick up all the fused rice? It's gone. So then he said, Urai koi, Govindaya namo. Oh, puff rice flying in the air, I offer you to Govinda. So generally that's mean, you know, like if somebody's about to lose their property, or we find, you know, some encroachers have come and they can't get them off, they say, we'd like to donate this to the temple. Urai koi Govindaya namo. They can't use it, so okay, give it to Krishna. And then, but then later, anyway, that's, maybe it was like in that mood he was offering. But anyway, he said, Urai puspam naranaya namo. No sooner did he say naranaya namo, PAM! The door was crushed open, was smashed open. Revolutionary came in with the arrow, choo! The king got right in the heart, the arrow, spot dead. King is dead, the tyrant is dead. They're like having a big rejoicing. Immediately the Yamadutas come to take away the atma of the king to Yamalok. No need of him waiting a second. His next destination was already fixed in their opinion. He was a very sinful person and they had a whole special program ready for him. But when they reached, they found that the Vishnu Dutas were there. They said, no, you know. This one belongs to us. He's a sinner. We should take him to hell. They said, sorry, but the last thing he said before he died was, Naranaya Namo. He offered a flower to Narayana. Narayana wants to see him. So they took his, the atma of the dead king, to Vishnu Lok. There Lord Vishnu was waiting, Narayana was waiting with open arms. My dear devotee, dear devotee. He fell on the ground, offered his obeisance. No, no, I am not a good devotee. No, you offered me my favorite flower. In the month of Magh, anyone who offers me flowers, and especially the Champaka flower in the month of Magh, they easily come to me. I'm very pleased by this. And you offered, the last thing you said was my holy name before you left your body. So I promised. Right? What is the promise? What is the promise the Lord gives? At the moment of death, if we remember Him, where do we go? We go to Krishna. Antakale chamang eva smaran muktva kalevaram ya prayati samadbhavam yati nasyatra samsoya. So then the king realized that the Lord is so merciful. I was such a rascal. I should surrender to the Lord. This is the greatest mercy. I don't deserve it. And he surrendered and the Lord picked him up, embraced him. He was completely purified. His atma is completely purified. And this way he became one of the associates of the Lord. Just by offering a flower, even accidentally, kind of unconsciously offering a Goloka Champa flower to the Lord in the month of Magh, at the last moment of his life. You see, of course, that's a freak special mercy that he just happened to remember the Lord at that moment. You see, if someone thinks that, don't worry, I'm not going to chant Hare Krishna. When I die, then just at that moment I'll chant. But it doesn't work like that. Right? You tend to think whatever you're thinking, if you're thinking all the time about about something else, at that moment you'll think about that thing. What's going to happen to my dog? My dog! Right? Then what happens next birth?
Ruff, ruff.
In America, there was one lady, $140 million she left to her cat. It's a rich, rich cat. And she put all her wealth as an endowment and said the cat will be the owner and be fed and everything. When the cat dies, then all the wealth will be divided amongst these different charities. So first she wanted her cat to be a very rich cat for a while. But what does she think? Time of death. Maybe she's thinking of her cat. When you become a cat. A big tomb for the cat. Everything she made. Said the cat was my best friend. So people don't know how risky it is to think of so many things, not to think of Krishna. Bhakti yoga is a type of science. If you think of Krishna, if you chant Hare Krishna, then you get the result. I presented to the Congress of Science and Synthesis of Science and Religion that Prabhupada presented things in a very rational, in a very systematic and a scientific way, and how he asked people to experiment in their own lives. And by experimenting, they can see how devotional service does produce what is predicted. So student from one of the universities there, I think, I don't know if he was from IIT or from another university, but he said, I don't believe in all these things, you know, about religion. I'm coming to listen, but I don't practice anything. I don't believe. I've never had any reason to believe in these things. I said, okay, but you're a scientist. Yes, I'm a science student and postgraduate. So why don't you just try this as an experiment? You don't have any belief, you're just doing it as an experiment. You chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, you know, for a month or two, just try a little bit every day and see whether there's any change in your consciousness. You're a neutral observer, you just try it as an experiment. I gave him a mantra card and next day he came up to me, Maharaj, Swamiji, I tried it. It works. Haribol! 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 First day. Instant results. So I'm going to chant every day now. This is very good. I felt something very special, something very different. So, chanting of Krishna's name is something very powerful. Especially by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, we see how it changes people's lives, makes them naturally peaceful and happy. The trick is somehow how to get people to take it up and try it. You see, of course you can't force anyone, it's up to them. People at their own time, they do take it up just to bring them in association and try to build up their good fortune. This month of Magh is known as Madhava month. It's one of the very special months in the year. There are three special months. One is Baisakh, one is Damodar, and the third is Magh. And Baisakh is a special for worshipping the Lord. We worship Narsingha Chaturdasi, Chandan Yatra. In Damodar month it's special because we worship and we do some vratas. Some dietary restrictions are there. Pure vegetarian and various other dietary and other type of restriction can be there in Damodar. One can do various options if someone wants to do a vrata. And Mantra Maga especially, of course, is to please the Lord through devotional service and offer the Lord flowers and very nice worship and to take Magi snan, to take bath Kumbh Mela is held in the month of Magh in Allahabad, as well as the Magha Mela there. And throughout the Puranas, it mentions the efficacy of early morning bath in the month of Magh that all devout Hindus will observe. Of course, it's also mentioned nectar of devotion. Prabhupada mentions in a letter to a devotee that in the nectar of devotion and Bhagavata, this is one of the processes mentioned in the Vedas. So just like the housewife will cook in even in a hot summer day, and a pious person will take his bath even in the month of Magh, which means it's a cold. So sense gratifiers prefer to avoid a cold bath in a cold month. But the devout people, they do take their early morning bath, and even in this cold month. And for instance, in the Padma Purana, it's mentioned that the great, in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, it mentions about the, and in Prabhupada's books, that Vishishta Muni had instructed the great emperor Dilip about the glories of Magh. Dilip was emperor of the world also at that time, and he was a very powerful king. So one time he decided to go out on the hunt in order to practice their powers of shooting arrows and riding horses and killing, which Kshatriyas had to do. You have to kill criminals and opponents, so this was a way they were allowed to practice. They could hunt stags or male deer. So he had his fellow Kshatriyas and warriors, and they all got dressed up. He was dressed for the hunt. He had his leather thing here so that when he shoot the arrow, the bowstring wouldn't hit his arm. And he had dressed up for the occasion, wearing a blue turban. And they all went off on their horses, and they went into the forest. And they were chasing the deers, the not the female, but the stags, the male ones, and get him! Chase him! They're running and shooting with their arrows. Like this, morning was passing, and then one very big stag came and made a big noise in the bush. Looked, saw, you saw these hunters. And fled in the opposite direction. They said, get him! And they were chasing, but this stag was very big and very powerful. It went deep into the forest. They went chasing after, and they were, for hours and hours, they were chasing him. And the king was getting thirsty, tired. They were chasing, and then finally, deep in the middle of the forest, there was a very big lake. So lake, couldn't so big you couldn't see the borders of it. So it was like an ocean almost. And there was crystal water with lotuses. And there were some crocodiles stirring the water underneath. Different things. It was a very opulent lake. So the king was very thirsty, went and drank the water from the lake. And they were so far in the forest, it was too late to get back. It already became dark. So there they camped out that night there under the stars. They were sleeping. They slept with the bows on their, because all around there are tigers and lions and things. So they're sleeping in the forest with their finger on their bowstring. Middle of the night, a whole herd of wild boars comes through the camp, making noise. They get up, you know, and this door with a tusk, the boars are in there. So they're shooting the boars and scaring them away and to kill a lot of boars because they were just started attacking. So then the sun rose and he says, let's just get back. Let's start back. And so They were heading back, and on the way there was a very skinny, very austere old sadhu, brahmana. I forget his name now. But he was surprised. He said, "My dear Lord, what are you doing?" "Oh, I'm going back home, you know." "No. Now is the time to take bath. This is the month of Magh. You're not taking the early morning bath." And the king hadn't taken his bath. He was just, "Well, what's the significance about the month of Magh? Why I have to take a bath now especially?" No, you ask your guru, your Kula Guru Vishisht, he's protecting you. You ask him, he'll tell you. Now there's no time to talk. We have to go and bathe. You just take my word. Come, let's go." So they all went back and they took their bath. Then the king returned to his capital. Then later he went to see Vishisht to find what is the significance about Magh. And actually it's a very long, so many lessons are told. Some things Vishisht gave, Dattatreya told to one devotee, some histories, different accounts were given from different yugas and different places. Said how if you bathe even with hot water bath early in the morning in Magh, it's worth 6 times a normal. But actually water is another form of the Lord purifying us, and if we take bath in this month, that has a special purifying effect. If you take just cold water bath in your house, it's 12 times more. If you take something was 24 times. I forget. Then you go and you take in a river, just a little river, 24. If you take in a big river, or if you take in a natural pond coming from the water, from the earth, 100 times. If you take in the confluence of two great rivers, then it's 400 times. And if you take your bath in the Ganges, it's 1,000 times. And if you take at the Sangam of the Ganges and Jamuna and Saraswati, then it's 100,000 times. Like that, there's so many. But then, of course, we were discussing how the Karmakandis, they're really more into many of these things. Because then afterwards, he said that if you worship before bathing, if you worship and you say Achyuta, Hari, Madhava, Govinda, you bathe chanting the holy names and you come out, you worship and again chant the names of the Lord, so then you get the transcendental benefit, which is unlimited. So the real point is, of course, not just to accumulate punya, but which most people, of course, are very interested in. And you can accumulate so much punya. But actually how to get the highest blessing, which is Krishna consciousness. So in the Vedas it mentions both these sides. There was so like that, I don't know if I want to get into all the Karmakanda examples, but there were many examples given on the effectiveness. There was a lady. She was a courtier in the kingdom of Kalinga. Kalinga is Orissa. And she was startling beauty. So she was like the talk of the town. All the young lords and nobles, and they all after her. And she was a flirt. So she would tease them and get them to come and offer her gifts and things, even have them fight over her. Some people were killed trying to get her favors. They wanted to just come just to bathe her feet. In this way she had so much wealth. She was enjoying everything. She was in the high society. And but as you know, time passes, and then she became an old lady. And then she looked back on her life and she became very frightened. That my whole life I didn't do anything religious. I didn't do anything pious. I just been sinning like anything. And the weight of the sins, of the bad karmas, were just making her very depressed. So she went to one Brahmana and asked, "How, what can I do to get free from this karma?" And then he told her to do a special type of bath in the month of Magh. He said, 3 days you'll be free of all the karmas. So she went and did a bath at the Ganga confluence. 3 days she got free from all the karmas. And then she continued 21 days. So then finally, when she passed away, she was not doing it out of Krishna bhakti, of course, and she became an apsara. And her name was Kanchana Malini. She's one of the great apsaras. She's one of the friends of Parvati. Every year she comes in the month of Magha and does her bath. So, since she came down and was taking her Ganga bath at the confluence, and then, as she was flying in the air with her wet clothing, and there was one Rakshas, demon. And she passed by, she got in the air and she was walked by, some water from her cloth fell on his head. And she said, "Who are you?" He said, "You see, I'm always in an angry mood, I'm always, you know, ferocious, this water you put on my head, for the first time in my life I feel peace of mind." "What happened? How is it that this happened to me?" And she gave her history, how she, and said, "This water is the Ganga. So by Ganga touching you, this had this effect. And how did you become an asura? Who are you?" And then he told his story, that "I was a brahmana born and I was living in Kasi. And I was taking donations as a brahmana, doing different ceremonies, but I was not doing any religion. Just taking the money and doing all sinful things. So I didn't do one atom of pious activity in spite of living in Kasi. So when I died, because I was born in Kasi, died in Kasi, therefore anyone who dies there doesn't go to hell. But I had to take all the bad karma, and whatever sinful activity you do in a holy place, especially that holy place, if you do a little till, it becomes, you know, atal, it becomes like a mountain. One little bit of sin becomes like Mount Meru. So I did so many sins, so I have got so much bad karma. I was born 3 times as a vulture. I was born 3 times as a tiger. I was born as a hog. And I was like that." He said, he gave all these horrible births he had gone through. And he said, "This is my 10th birth. And for 1,000 years I've been as Rakshasa Asura and I'm suffering like anything. You see? And now the first time I feel some peace out. So how is it that I can, you're so merciful. Please have mercy on me. Free me from this curse. I'm all the horrible things I did. I wasted my life and I've got unlimited bad karma. I don't know how I ever paid it all back." So this Kansha Malini was feeling some mercy and she said, "All right, may all the punya from my bathing in the month of Magh be given to you." And she took her wet cloth and squeezed it and the Ganga water fell on him. Poof! He's like, just exploded, and then came out from the, instead of an asura, there became like a deva in the place. And he could get promoted And he said, please instruct me. And she gave many nice instructions to him about moral life that he should lead. So like that, there's so many different stories. But the real point, then the ultimate story, of course, is like this. Just a little chanting, a little service in the month of Magh, you can also get Krishna consciousness, which is the real point. In Mayapur, you bathe in the Ganga, you get love of Krishna. You see. That if you take a bucket of water and keep it outside at night, take a bath in the outside in the morning in the month of Magh, then you also get the same benefit like bathing in a holy place. For 3 days if you do. Like that different thing. So somehow, Prabhupada, I once wrote to Prabhupada, what about these different things? And like month of Damodar, so what should we do? And he wrote me, he said, this is actually for the new people. To attract new customers. Krishna is giving some special deals to attract people. So then they get into the habit of, they take it out because it's like, sometimes you see some store offer 50% rebate. So you think, how can I turn it down? 50%. I'm saving so much. You buy things you don't even want. But here, Krishna is offering rebate on something we all need. But normally people might not be inclined to buy it, to give their energy. So throughout the year, there's these special occasions, like the month of Damodar, month of Magh, where a little service done in this month just gives a special boon, special blessing, multiple effect.